It's Palmer.
All right. It's another beautiful day in paradise. And I'm up here broadcasting from Vermont. And behind me, you see a photograph that I took just the other day of some of the trees here. So it has exploded. In the meantime, though, up here, many of the trees, as I'm looking out, are barren. So as I drive back to Florida, I probably will run into fall again. But it's pretty much over here. It's definitely past its peak. And the shady gray of winter has started to prevail up here. I've got Rosemary Frigerio on the line. Hi, Rosemary.
Good morning, Red, and I thank you for having me this morning.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for being here. And it's with that accent, of course, we know you're from, is it Long Island? Is that a Long Island accent?
No, it is a Bronx accent where I grew up.
Okay, the Bronx, the Bronx.
That was the Bronx. And I
grew up there. Do you ever miss New York City?
No. Not now. It was beautiful when I was growing up, but I would not attempt to even go back now. It is a disaster.
That's what they say. Yeah.
I did my graduate work down in the city at NYU, and it was lovely then. However, forget it right now. You know what has happened, and it has been taken over by vandals, by illegal aliens. Everybody has been coming into the city and has destroyed it. It's really,
you know, the Roosevelt Hotel. You remember the Roosevelt, right?
Yes, of course.
And you know what? Right now, it's costing. It's totally full. 1,200 rooms are filled with people who've come over the border. And it's costing we Americans, it's costing us $75 million a month in rent to pay for Roosevelt Hotel with the 1,200 rooms for all these refugees.
How about all the other hotels that are being filled? I understand even the Waldorf Astoria. So it's
not. Oh, don't tell me the Waldorf. That was my place where I used to always go, the Waldorf Astoria. Oh, my God. Well, listen, I want to talk about cars today and electric cars specifically. Recently, my car was worked on. And when I was down in Florida, they gave me a loaner at no charge. And it was a brand new and it was all electric, which was very exciting for me. But by the time I went to the airport at 10 o'clock at night and I had to wait for Barbara to get in, and then I had to, you can't get out of your car. So I had to drive out of the airport to go use a bathroom facility at a Hampton Inn. Then I drove back. Finally, she comes out and it says I only have a little amount of mileage left, not enough to get home. So I ended up going to Vieira. Anyway, I had to call the cops because it was a slow poke charger. You have a faster one. Most of them are set up just for Teslas. Finally, they said, when you get charged enough, you got to go backwards 10 miles. And there's a Sam's Club where you can charge. We finally found it and we got charged. Cost us over $30 for the charging. And then we got home after 3 o'clock in the morning. Then just last week, my car was being worked on. And they gave me a brand new, really luxurious Mercedes, all electric. It drove like a dream. It looked really cool. But does this come in half and half? And they said, no, only all electric. I tell you what, I had my friends up from New York, a couple visiting, a husband and wife. And, I was worried the whole time. I'm looking at the thing. As I'm taking them around to see the foliage, I'm worried that we're going to run out of electricity. So although it's a very luxurious thing, I couldn't take the stress.
Red, I would not want an electric car if they gave it to me for nothing. There are so many problems that are associated with these cars. Number one, I don't know if you know, but on August 5th of 2021, President Biden took the wheel of a plug-in Jeep Wrangler to tout electric vehicles. And he signed an executive order setting a national goal for zero emission vehicles to make up half of the new cars sold by 2030. And he did put out an executive order regarding this. Well, first of all, we will never, never get zero emissions. All right. We will never reach zero. That is erroneous statement. First, the politicians don't understand net zero is not possible. They are aggressively pushing us to use these electric cars, but I want to caution everybody about them. In order to understand the problems with electric cars, first we go into the production of electric cars. They need energy to operate. Guess where the energy comes from? Electric. It seems that, believe it or not, the electric cars, the energy needed is dirtier than the petroleum cars. And guess what? 30 to 80% of the electricity comes from gas and coal. So you're not getting away from the use of gas and coal by converting to electric cars. It would increase the cost of electricity tremendously. Now, with the production of electric cars, there are many factors that are negative. Number one, all of the metals, all of the minerals that are needed to use the in order to produce the batteries of electric cars is devastating. First of all, let me go into the use of cobalt. Do you know where most of the cobalt for electric cars comes from?
Where? 70%. Oh, yeah, tell us about that. It's horrendous what they're doing to these young people in foreign nations.
Well, 70% of the world's cobalt is produced in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Their human rights are entirely overlooked. There is a total disregard for the dangerous working condition and the use of child labor. They are using 40,000 children in these mines to mine the cobalt as slave labor. They're as young as 6 years old. The exposure and inhalation of cobalt leads to many, many health issues, eyes, skin, lungs, and either other fatal effects. This is horrendous. There are hundreds of thousands of slaves being used. They get a dollar or two a day. Red, this is horrendous. All right. And then, by the way, everything I am giving you, I have resourced. I have sources for everything. It is not coming from my head. And I didn't dream this up. In fact, let me see. There is a fellow at Harvard who said hundreds of thousands of poor Congolese people are touching and breathing this. They don't have any protective gear. They don't have any masks. They don't have gloves. And these mines are very dangerous. There are about 10 to 15,000 tunnels that are being dug by hand. And some of them actually cave in, and many people have died. They've lost limbs. It is horrendous. We say we don't want slavery. Well, guess what? We are promoting it in Africa. And the Congolese people are being used and abused. In addition, copper is one of the world's leading producers of copper is Chile. And the copper is coming from open pit mines. And that affects vegetation, topsoil, wildlife habitats, groundwater, and so forth. And it's very interesting because we do have copper here in the United States, but guess what? The Biden administration canceled two copper mining leases in Minnesota. The Interior Secretary, Deb Haaland, said the Department of the Interior takes seriously our obligations to steward public lands and waters on behalf of all Americans. This decision was applauded by the strongest supporters of America's quest for clean energy and the environmentalists and Democrats. Well, guess what? They don't applaud, they don't care about people in other countries, okay? And this is a, you know, it's a disaster because health issues are very, very important. And so is the slavery that is associated with the mining of these materials. In addition, nickel, lithium, and so forth, many metals are needed for the production of these cars, especially for the batteries. And by the way, the batteries are horrendous. They can go up in flames. There are so many cars that have gone up in flames. And if they do, these batteries and the fires actually burn much, much hotter and longer than any other cars would. It takes many, many thousands of gallons of water to put these fires out. I've read from 30 to 50,000 gallons and sometimes even more. And they can reignite after 2 days after, and up to 2 weeks after they've reignited. And if these batteries come in contact with salt water, guess what happens? They explode. Isn't that wonderful? Now, also, there are many other problems. The truckers are being told they have to switch to electric vehicles. Well, that's another big problem, because I have a report that was done by the head of the trucking company who was in front of the Senate hearing committee. And he really gave quite a bit of information. Number one, this was done, by the way, in, let's see if I have the date when that, this was, because what's happening is that California wants all truckers to have electric vehicles by January. First of all, this would be absolutely impossible. Andrew Boyle, who is the co-president of the Massachusetts Based Boyle Transportation and first vice president of the Trucking Associations, testified before the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee, Clean Air, Climate, and Nuclear Safety Committee. And he said that today's clean diesel trucks produce 99% lower emissions than those from the 1980s. He explained that today's battery electric trucks would have a range of 150 to 330 miles and then take up to 10 hours to charge. Now, these trucks are transporting foods, medicines, and other products that are needed. Well, guess what? You're going to put 10 hours onto a truck, and guess what? Rhett, these batteries for the trucks cost are very, very heavy. They weigh 8,000 pounds apiece, and the trucks need about two batteries. Guess what? 16,000 pounds of extra weight on our bridges, our roads, our tunnels, and they can't carry as much food or as much produce in their trucks. What's going to happen? To convert them, he said, would be $1 trillion investments. He also said in Joliet, Illinois, a fleet tried to electrify just 30 trucks. And the terminal, they said, would take more electricity than the whole the entire city would need. Could you imagine that, Rhett?
Could you
imagine that? In addition, these battery-operated trucks would be so heavy And, you know, there are weights that are checked for these trucks as they travel, and they would not even be able to comply with the weight restrictions. So this is a very, very big problem. Could you imagine trying to get these trucks to have electric batteries? That would be a horror. There are many other questions. I have a story about a fella who came from Canada, and he came on a trip with his family. Guess what happened? He had a small accident, and they took the car. It took 6 months to get the car repaired. He paid $115,000 for this car in Canadian money, but it was $85,000 in American money. Now, when you get an electric car, you need to hook it up in your house. Guess what happens? You need to upgrade your electric system. It might cost as much as $10,000 to upgrade the electric system. Then you have to get all the chargers. And these charging cables and everything could cost you another $10,000. And then if you work and you go to work and you want another hookup, guess what? More money. And all this money is being used to charge these cars. It is horrendous. If it goes, if it ignites in your house, in your garage, you can forget about your house. It will be gone. That is a danger, some of the dangers of these electric cars. Now, this fellow, let me tell you, had to rent a car to utilize for his trip with his family. He said, once you buy it, you are stuck with it. And this is a very, very big problem, because who is going to buy your electric car? Brett, it seems that there are so many problems with these cars. The charging, the infrastructure, by the way, which is not adequate, because when you go charge an electric car, you have to find a station that is capable of doing it. And in many cases, even if you find a station, the equipment is not working or whatever, and you're stuck. You're stuck. So the, you know, availability and convenience of being able to charge these cars is not there. The distance that you can drive them is not there. The limited driving range to its traditional counterparts is ridiculous. The cost, the upfront cost, is horrendous. Battery life and degradation is another problem, because when you have a regular vehicle, they can recycle the battery. 90 or 95% of those batteries can be recycled. Only 5% of the batteries of electric cars can be recycled. Therefore, where are the graveyards for these batteries? Where are they going? What do you do with them? They have to be buried. You have to get rid of them. Okay. So it's, and plus the fact, I don't know if you know, but in hot or cold weather, the batteries, the performance will lose 47%. 40% of the energy is gone, and only 5% of them can be recycled. Can you imagine this? And when you need a new battery, they are very, very expensive. So, you know, I believe we should stick with electric cars. Now, the minerals, as I said, the fires, the environmental hazards, it's promoting more pollution and hazardous wastes. In Chile, they say that the air and the cloudiness of the environment is upsetting. You're also taking away all of the vegetation. You're destroying the animal habitats. no one is looking at all of these problems. They're just pushing electric cars. Why? Why are they doing this? Who's making the money? What is their reason? Environment? No, it's not the environment, because if they looked into it, they would find out that these cars are dangerous, they are an environmental hazard, and they are not what they should be. We should be looking at ways to find really clean energy. And some of those are atomic power, they're fusion, they're hydrogen power. Those are clean energy sources, not electric cars. And, you know, I mean, I have just so much information. In fact, Secretary of Energy, she went on a trip, and she found out that the electric car was difficult to get charged, and she had, in fact, what happened is when she went on her trip, she had people go ahead and stop other people from getting charged up because she needed to get charged, and they were in line in hot weather in order to be able to have her come in. And I understand the police were called in this instance because so many people were inconvenienced during her trip. And by the way, she also had investments in electric buses. And guess what? She made $1.6 million on her investments because she had been invested in this bus company. And they said, by the way, on the Western Journal on September 26, 2023, that she made a, I'm sorry, it was August 7th, 23. This was another one with her. She was with this foundation, and immense scrutiny was drawn to her because she maintained her financial position with the firm for which she used to sit on the board of directors after she became secretary for our energy. So this is, you know, something, and they are investigating her, by the way. She did leave her position with the company, but guess what? The company then filed for bankruptcy. Isn't that wonderful? So, you know, it's amazing how all of this information is being held back from the public. Why do you think they're doing this? I don't know. It's just a scam. In fact, this fellow from Canada calls it a scam. I'm bewildered. But the nightmare of that Canadian driver, he says, was unbelievable. As, you know, I said, after purchasing that EV, he needed to install two chargers for the home, for work, and so forth. And it cost him quite a bit of money. So, you know, he went on this trip, and the charging stations, which only charge EVs up to up to 90%, cost more than gas, he said. His first stop in Fargo, he paid $56 for 2 hours. And it only took him 215 miles. His second stop was in Albertville, Minnesota, where the charger was faulty. And that's another big problem. These chargers are faulty. I don't know what you encountered, Rhett, when you had that electric car. but I assume it wasn't as smooth as you thought it would be. So,
not
you know,
as what?
What?
Not as what as I thought it would be?
Not as smooth in getting all of the charging and everything you needed to, you know, utilize it. You know,
no, we'd have charging stations that would only work for Teslas.
So there you have it. And he said,
I had a Mercedes.
Yeah. And guess what? He said, I can only drive in the city, and called it the biggest scam of modern times. He said the government needs to provide consumers with the correct information. And once again, he said, and I quote, once you buy it, you're stuck with it. So this is, you know, electric cars are not the answer. We need to look much, much further. They had fires, which was so difficult to put out. The fire departments have not been trained adequately. There's no money to train them adequately to be able to put out these fires. They've had fires in Texas. They had fires in with school buses and so forth. It's what can I say? And they fear that if there is a fire in a car or one of these electric vehicles, and there are other electric vehicles parked near them, that the fire will be very, very, very difficult to eradicate. So, you know, all I could say is people need to be informed. They need to be educated. How do we do that, Rhett?
How well, you're highly educated yourself, right?
Well, I hope so.
Tell us about all your education.
Well, I was a teacher and administrator. I graduated Hunter College, and then I did my graduate work at NYU, and I had my master's degree in administration and supervision of education, but actually it's based on business administration. And I did start my doctorate, but I never completed the doctorate because, you know, you had to work in order to make money, and you know, it wasn't easy to do. So I never completed my doctorate. But I will tell you, people, you know, need to be informed. How do we do that? I'm thankful that you have given me the opportunity on your radio program to be able to you know, bring about some information to people. But, you know, we need to get this out far and why. There have been some reports from firemen and fire districts, by the way, and they say that the car fires are a hot topic, especially when the vehicles on fire are electric. By the way, they said that General Motors had to recall thousands of vehicles, and they had to spend around $2 billion. When a vehicle like a Tesla catches fire, it makes headlines. And, you know, this is all, what can I say? It's very disturbing. I'm disturbed with what's going on in Africa with these poor people, hundreds of thousands of people being used and abused. All of these other metals, lithium, nickel, and, you know, all of these have to be mined. And yet oil is a naturally formed product of the earth, and it is an abundant resource found in our own country, as well as Canada, Saudi Arabia, and Russia. And obtaining oil from under the ground is not dangerous. It's not dangerous to the environment as the other minerals are. So, you know, I mean, the open pit mining, these other mines that are needed are, you know, really a hazard to our environment. They're killing animals, they're killing people, they're defoliating our areas, the forests and the vegetation, which is needed. The environmentalists want more oxygen. Guess what? The process of photosynthesis is not able to occur if we are defoliating our areas to mine these minerals. It's a vicious cycle. I believe that we need to view this more intently, and we need to have more people informed about these. You know, if as I said, if they want to give me an electric car for nothing, I don't want it. I don't want it. Okay. They say it requires 6 times the mineral inputs of the comparable internal combustion engine. Could you believe that? The electric cars require 6 times the mineral inputs of a comparable internal combustion engine.
It's a big hoax.
It is a hoax. It is a scam. And as I said, 90% of the lead acid batteries of the internal combustion engines can be recycled, and only 5% of the lithium ion batteries can be recycled. And
listen to this. We got a brand new Mercedes, and the man said it could self park. But when Barbara was testing it, he said, "Oh, don't go near that silver car. It can't recognize silver yet."
Oh my God, that's another problem which I was not even aware of. So there are even more problems that are hidden under the table or under the rug that we are not even aware of. Because, well, I could say, Rhett, this is a disaster. And we really need, and I say it again and again and again, we need to get the word out. This is not what we need. These electric cars, these executive orders, all of this clean energy are not meant for us. We need clean energy, yes, but let's look at the possibilities of clean energy.
Is there any way to reverse an executive decision like that?
I have no idea, Rhett, but what we need to do, I think, is get to our representatives in Congress and in the Senate. We need to get people in office that will be more astute and more receptive to the kinds of information regarding electric cars and some of these things that are just being pushed on to the people because they sound like a good idea. We need to investigate.
You know what amazes me? The arrogance. What?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, the people that think they're smarter than our founding fathers. And by the way, everybody looks at them like old white men. They were not old white men. They were 23 years of age, 26 years of age. Our founding fathers were not old guys. They were sharp, sharp, sharp.
Yes. And, you know, there's another factor here. We have a constitution. Our constitution grants us freedom and liberty. Should we be forced to buy things that we don't want? Should we be forced to push utilize things we don't want to have?
Rosemary, don't you know that they're more intelligent than we are? They know everything. They're self-righteous. They know better. They think better. They think they feel better. They care better. Look at these kids, these liberal kids. On college campuses, they won't let the conservative kids even speak. I mean, they just don't want to hear anything. I mean, that's a sign of real bad ignorance.
I know. Could you believe that they were demonstrating for the Palestinians? I can't believe that this has been going on our campuses. But there's one thing I was happy about, that Wall Street wants the name of all those Harvard students that did that because they're not going to be hired. This is treason. I'm sorry. This is treason. When people are, not standing up for democracy, for what we believe in, What about the squad that's, you know, that has the Palestinian flag in the halls of our House of Representatives? How about that? What can I say?
They took over the educational system. That's what everybody that goes to college today, they try to convert into extreme liberalism.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but they are using the term systemic racism for everything. You will hear the word systemic racism for health, so that everybody could get health. You will hear it for housing. You will hear it for education. You will hear it for industry. You will hear it for labor. Everything is now systemic racism. Did you know that?
Well, the assholes are going to try to create a China here. And you know what? Communism is not a fun place to live under.
It's a dark dictator. They don't understand that. Oh, all I could say, Red, you know, I think I've lived the best years of my life in America. What I foresee is disaster. And I hope that people will wake up in time to save this country. All the people that sacrificed their lives, they did so much. And in fact, by the way, I have to tell you one thing, that, you know, Conservative Watch is having a meeting on October 22nd at the Plaza, and they are honoring Chuck Pickard. He is a 98-year-old veteran, and he was in the war, and he was in combat in the U.S. Navy. And all I could say is I am happy that we are able to do that. And we will be proudly honoring him. He's a World War II veteran. We need to honor our people that do well in this country. Many times what's happening, we turn our backs. We do not give credit where credit is due. And so many people, I don't know what's going to happen now, are fighting with one another, even in the House of Representatives, between who is going to be the leader, who's going to be this. I don't understand all this viciousness, this vitriol that is happening. It's, you know, years ago, both parties worked with one another. They found a middle ground. They found a way to solve problems. Today, all they want to do is attack each other.
With Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, they work together. They go out and have a beer together.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Do you think they do that nowadays? I don't think so. All they do is they show their fangs to one another, and this does not help us. This does not help young children in the education
system. We need a revelation and a revolution of dignity to getting back where if somebody wants to come and speak on your campus, give them the dignity of listening. And, you know, if somebody comes up to me, And I listen to them, and they can knock me off my podium with words, with thoughts, with intellect, and refute what I'm saying, then maybe I need to reassess myself. But if they come against my thoughts intellectually with their mouths, their brains against my mouth, my brain, then they've made my stand all that much more stronger. I do not fear opposing viewpoints. The fact that they want to muzzle and think this is acceptable, this is what has happened in the past, where in Germany or Russia or China, where they all of a sudden want to muzzle anybody that disagrees with them. I don't understand it.
I don't either. I totally agree with you. I don't understand it. I mean, we are in a very dangerous times, where people who are, what can I say, misguided or whatever, are, you know, our leaders. The leaders of America now are, you know, I can't understand it. They're more suited to socialism and communism. They're more supportive of those types of governing powers. It's unbelievable that our country, founded on the Judeo-Christian religion, is being
desecrated. Look what's happening over in Israel. You've got these young Muslims who are brought up with hatred. I don't even consider them really Muslims. I don't know what they are. It's a weird thing. But they're vitriolic. They're filled with hate to the point where they cut off the heads of babies. They cut off the heads of soldiers.
That was horrible, horrible. I mean, I can't believe it. Mothers, one mother pregnant with the child still attached to an umbilical cord being shot. I mean, this is, people have to be sick to support this kind of behavior. They really have to be sick. And I can't fathom any support for these.
I do want to let you know, this is nothing new. I mean, if you read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, the white man, you know, and I don't know if the Indians, you know, started to mimic the white man, but they would cut off the anatomy of women in different places. They'd kill babies and children. Anybody that can kill a child. I mean, I think it's what Paul said in the scriptures. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of light and darkness. I mean, do these people just went over to Israel and killed all these people? Do they actually think Allah, the creator of this beautiful earth, would agree with them? And then Iran, the Khomeini, he said, we kiss the hands of those that planned this terror.
And I understand they were planning it for 2 years, And I just can't understand how Israel was not prepared for this. And, you know, if you also read the Bible and, you know, the armor of God, it tells you to be prepared.
In Israel, they lowered the guns that are owned by private people down to 2%, and now they need to get the ammo, they need to get the guns, and so do we in America. The Second Amendment. I'm worried. What they're saying today that they're they're sneaking in here. That down in the border, 91% of all the people coming over that border are males. Young males, not babies, not children, not moms, not older dads or grandpas, but young males. And there was a guy, a taxi driver, who said he was driving one of these guys in New York City recently. And he said, well, I'm just waiting for my orders. They give me $2,000 a month to exist here, and then I will get my orders. I mean, I don't know why he would tell the taxi driver this, maybe because he was also a Muslim. But then this guy went to the authorities and told him. You know, and so they're coming here. They're planning to destroy us from within.
They want a global jihad. Why do you think they have been invading the United States, France, England? Look at the other countries. They are coming in, and they want to take over the world. This has been their plan for many years. They've been very, very patient, and they have been planning and planning. And our borders were open. Millions of people have come into the borders through the borders under the Biden administration. Who are they? Where are they? What are they doing? I mean, this is horrendous. Years ago, people had to come in through Ellis Island. They had to come in legally, as Trump said, legally. And he used that word always. And this is has become a very, very bad problem for the United States, because people coming in illegally, we don't know who they are, And not only that, in some of the areas, they want to practice Sharia law. They want to invoke their own law on us. You know that. I get very upset when I speak about this because no one is really listening or doing anything about this. And someday they will wake up. I mean, people will wake up when they start their action against innocent people in other countries. And this is going to happen, Brett. I feel very strongly that this is, we are looking at.
Yeah, good. Well, listen, Rosemary, what is Conservative Watch?
Okay, Conservative Watch. We are an organization that attempts to watch all the things that are happening and to report them and to bring in speakers. In fact, we have Congressman Brian Mast coming also on the 22nd of October, Sunday. It is going to be at 11 o'clock, and it's very cheap. It's $20 for attendance, and they will have food. So it's a very nice type of organization where people can learn, they can ask questions, they can join committees. I will be in charge of doing a number of committees where we are doing research, and we will be networking and doing quite a bit of work to inform people. I think this is very, very important. We have to be proactive.
What's the mission statement?
Well, I don't have the mission statement in front of me, but it is to protect. It is to for conservatives to be vigilant to protect our country, the Constitution. When I'm on your radio again, program again, I will read you the mission statement. But by the way, Rhett, I would like to be on again, if you will invite me. Have a lot of information about wind turbine generators and how they impact the marine life and environment as well.
Sure, we'll do that in the future. I'm going to have to say goodbye for now. In case somebody wants to get in touch with you, do you have an email address?
They can get to me by Rose, R-O-S-E. Frigerio, Frigerio, at AOL.com.
Okay, so it's R-O-S-E, Rose Frigerio, Frigerio, at AOL.com.
Correct.
Okay. We'll talk again in the future, all right?
I would love that, and if you are free on that day, by all means, I would love to have you join us, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You take care. Have a very pleasant day, and once again, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with you, okay?
Okay, bye, Rosemary.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.